I may not even preach what I was going to. Praise the Lord. But, and then she did that this morning. And we all came in agreement. So we're going to have plenty of guitar players. We're going to have plenty of bass players. We're going to have plenty of drum players. Hallelujah. We're going to have plenty of keyboard players in the name of Jesus. We done believe for it. We released it this morning. We're going to have plenty of ministers in this place. We're going to have the fivefold ministry in this place. Hallelujah. The apostle, the prophet, the teacher, all of those. We're going to have all of those. All the Sunday school teachers we need. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. We asked for it. We done received it. We know it's His will. That was some very good teaching. See, I was going to preach on more fruit, more freedom. Fruit is actually the results of a crop. Fruit, I mean, I'm a gardener. You know, I've missed one garden in 30-something years, you know. Just missed one, and I missed it. I won't never do it again, you know, because, you know, that the fruit is the result of a crop. It's the result of planting tomato plants. It's the result. And the fruit in our life is the results that we see coming in our life because we do find God's will. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I'll preach that till Jesus comes home. It's a revelation. It's real. In there he says, don't be ignorant, but finding and knowing what the will of God is. The Word of God will reveal God's will. And some things the Bible don't have God's will, but you seek the Lord, and it may not be Scripture. It may be a car. It may be, you know, something you need. It's, you know, or something like that. Finding God's will, that's where faith is. You got to have faith. The Word of God, and faith is a result of planting the Word of God. Faith is the fruit of that crop, you know. I was just thinking about it. I was thinking about how that, I mean, I would have done got divorced a million times had I not got saved. I would have done got divorced, not a million times, one time. I paid for a divorce, borrowed the money and paid for it, and I never got a divorce, but I had to make the payments on a divorce. So I paid for a divorce that God canceled. He canceled it. Hallelujah. But you know what? Even after I got saved, you know, I had to go in there and I had to take God's word and say, God, I'm going to love my wife as Christ so loved the church. And I had to go in there, and I had to, faith comes by hearing, right? I needed faith to do that. I needed God's ability to do that, you know. And so I took the Word of God, because before I got saved, it seemed inevitable that I was going to be divorced. But after I got saved and I got that word and I gave my situation, I found out 1 Peter 5:7 how to do it. How to cast your care over on the Lord. He said, casting all of your care. But one thing that I had to do, that we must do, is fight. You'll never have God results without fighting. And the kind of fight that we do is a faith fight. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight. A bad fight is when you get whipped. But a good fight is when you win. And when you're winning. You can even be in prison and you're winning. Paul was, right? You can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace and be winning. Just because you're in a fiery trial, you can't bow to the fire. Can't bow to the lions. Don't bow to this culture. This culture is not going to change my thinking. I got my thinking from the Bible. The Bible says for me and you not to be conformed to this world's way of doing and being and thinking and acting, but be transformed The word transformed means to be remodeled, renovated. You get rid of fear and you replace it with faith, confidence. Faith is just simply confidence. It's a confidence in God that God gave us. You know, and I was thinking about the other day, I was thinking because I told the Lord, I'm telling the Lord and have told him for years, God, I want to be effective, God. God, that what I minister and when I testify and all of that it goes out, God, and it takes, and somebody can get a hold of that and they can go and they can have the same results that I got because I got it from you. And I know, you know, I mean, my marriage, you know, Teresa can't even get a divorce. Oh, she can do what she wants. No, she can't. She belongs to God. My faith. I know y'all were quiet. Y'all learning. Y'all guys think things are impossible. There's nothing impossible with God. The Bible says all things are possible to the man or woman or child that believes. There was this preacher, his name was John Osteen, Joel Osteen's dad. And I came up in a time when, you know, I came up kind of not under him, but some of these patriarchs that are gone now. And, and he's pastoring and everything, and he's up there and he's preaching, you know, how to believe God. And so one of his daughters told him, said she wanted a pony. Daddy wanted a pony. Can't have a pony. I guess they lived in a parsonage. I don't know. You know, you're not going to get a pony, blah, blah, blah. Well, she went and she released her faith according to what he was preaching. Come on, somebody. She released her faith. She asked God for a pony. And she believed that she received a pony, that God was going to get her a pony. And you know what happened? It wasn't too long after that, somebody knocked on the door and told him, said, God told me to bring and give y'all a pony. She got a pony. See, she wasn't trying to go against Daddy, but she just desired a pony. She just wanted a pony, you know. And she asked her father for a pony, hallelujah. And so back down there, I thought, glory to God. If he'll do it for a baby like that, he'll do it for me. We're supposed to come as children. We're his children, right? Well, she just believed it. Daddy preached it. How's faith come? By hearing, right? Daddy was preaching it. Daddy was telling how to do it. He got it out of the Bible. It came from God. God inspired. She did it, and she got the fruit of it. She got a pony. I think later on, I mean, he was saying, man, they're believing for rabbits, and they're getting everything they're asking God for. Hallelujah. So see, the more fruit we bear, the freer we get. See, faith causes us to bear fruit. Faith is actually, it is the fruit of your hearing the Word of God. Now, but you know what? I can go out in my garden and I can plant tomatoes and I can say, ooh, they're so beautiful. They're so beautiful. And I can just look at them every day. They're beautiful. Tomato gets ripe, you know. Oh, look at it. It's ripe. And then it falls off and rots. I didn't go harvest it. I didn't go do anything with the fruit, the proof of my planting. And even in between, and I'm talking about spiritually speaking. See, you can have faith, but never go and demonstrate and have the fruit of that faith. I have the fruit of that faith in my marriage. I have the fruit of that faith that's talking to Bradley, and preacher, pastors are quitting, pressure. You know, it's not easy to be a pastor. It's not easy to be a guitar player. You're going to be on the front line. You're going to. You ain't in ministry. You're going to have to fight for your right to have this because your adversary, the devil, and your flesh is wanting to control. But the Bible, that's why we got all of these promises in the Bible. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against Scotty Weston for about pastoring will prosper. I take it. It's mine. Can't keep me out. Can't keep me from doing it. Can't keep me from church. If I believe God, I will get to church. I will have the fruit, the evidence of my faith. I will have it. Now, if I believe and look into my bosses and my garage doors and I have the same challenges everybody has, I have pressure of people, you know, backed up and all of that and putting pressure on you. And I mean, you know, at different times, you know, and those times I will not bow. I have faith. And because of it, I have the fruit of my faith. I walk in it. I walk in that victory. I walk in that freedom. My pastor was talking a little bit Wednesday night, did a great message, you know, on taking the Word of God. And, I mean, that was a great message, you know. Peter walked on the Word. We believe it. That he did walk on. I believe because God said, come. Jesus said, come. That word was enough for him to walk on that water. He was walking on. That was a great message, you know. But he was saying, you know, man, you gotta, you know, even if you're called, you're going to go through trials. You know, I'm called to be the pastor. I was called to be an evangelist. I mean, I got criticized back down there, you know, and I got built up as an evangelist, getting ready for the church. See, if you can't make it to church, believe God for faith to make it to church, you're not going to make it to debt-free faith. You're not going to make it to, I'll never get a divorce. If she went and got a divorce, she'll never get one from me. I'll never give her one. Why? I got mine back down yonder 30 years ago. I got my freedom 30 years ago, almost. When I gave her to God and I said, you are able to keep that I have committed to you. And he's kept her all these years. He's kept us all of these years, hallelujah. Why? Because I am eating the fruit of my faith. If you can believe that or you cannot, I know where our marriage was. I know all the things that we had done, committing adultery and different things. I know that the bridge looked like you can't cross this bridge. But I know now that God watches over His Word to perform it. He put me in business and I have been in business and faithful to ministry for 30 years. This world will mold you. The world will tell you. Google about your marriage, how to fix it. That's dumb. Guy, one time I teach faith here. Turn to God first. Turn to the Word first. I don't go asking all of it, but I was telling my pastor, I said, I would have quit this church 100 million times over in the last 22 years had I not been for sure that it was the will of God. I said, because of the trials and the hardships that have come my way to pressure me, to get me to crumble, to get me to fail, I said, but I cannot fail because I am in Jesus. More than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror. I won't settle for just a conqueror. Not when it says more. I'm going to think I'm more than able. I'm more than able. I went over there yesterday. I was telling my pastor. I said, I got that from you, Brad. I said, you taught me back down yonder when I said, you didn't know. I said, but when I knew that I was called. When I knew that I was going to be a preacher, I didn't even know what a preacher was. I said, and I remember a sermon you did, and you said you was talking about the fivefold ministry. And I said, and you was talking about don't try to be something you're not because you're out of God's grace. Find out what God wants. Don't try to be a pastor if you're an evangelist. Don't try to be a prophet when you're a teacher. You know, I said, and I always thought about that, and I thought, bless God, I'm going to find the will of God. I told him, I said, and I had people, because I was evangelizing streets and different things, offered churches to pastor, and you know, Satan, he does it to, he'll do it to you. Somebody come to me and they said, well, man, we're going to go over there. We're going to go over there. They're in revival over there. I said, don't go on Wednesday night. This is your church. I don't care if Jesus is over there. If Jesus is over there, you know, he planted you here. And they were, well, Scott, he's a dictator. No, I'm not a dictator. I'm find the will of God and stay with the will of God. If you need fire over here like you think it's over there, fast and pray and get the fire and bring it in. Bring the fire in with you. Light ours. Right? Hallelujah. See, all that is taking and bearing fruit. And that fellow didn't. I said, you're in ministry. You're required to be here. Y'all were quiet. That's the apostle here. That's not the pastor. Pastor's, oh, give me the hairbrush. Oh, let me comb down your ruffled feathers. Oh, baby, it's okay. Get me the lotion. Oh, we want to soften you up. The apostle's a little different. He's like, what's wrong with you? This is where you go to church. This is where God's called you. Nothing comes before that. Nothing comes before the will of God. He called me on the streets down there. Floods, hurricanes, I mean, storms didn't stop me. I mean, I found it in the Bible where Jesus said, peace be still. And God told me, he said, go speak to it. I said, but James Spann says it's just a nonstop wall. Well, James Spann's not God. That was back down yonder in the 90s. I'm in uncharted waters as a young Christian in ministry, and I'm having to make decisions between my job and God. I'm having to make decisions. We all do it. My kids and God. My wife and God. My job and God. My ministry and God. I had to get all of this straightened out that God is first. Then family, then ministry. God, family, ministry. Because if you love God and you love your family, you'll be effective in ministry. If you get it right at home, if you get it right with your wife, see, nothing is impossible. I'm only 58 years old. I'm thinking, man, my ministry is just starting. I've been in it 30 years, and I'm like, Johnny, it's got to just be starting. It's going to get better. See, you can't look at your life and say, well, it's just the way it. No, you can't do that. You look to the future, forgetting those things behind. Press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I was telling my pastor one time, I said, you know what? I said, I've trained Travis. I said, I don't know if it, I said, it seemed like, I said, the boy comes to work sick. I mean, look, if you go to work sick and you get a little sick and you can't come to church, you got your priorities backwards. You hear what I'm telling you? If you're too sick to come to church, you're too sick to go to work. Y'all quiet. It's good stuff, ain't it? I mean, a lot of pastors won't even say that. They'll quit. They're going to quit anyhow. Right? The Bible says Scotty will know the truth. Right? That's the only thing that'll make me free. If I'm putting something before God and I'm not aware of it, and God didn't show me, he would not be a good father. He shows me. He tells me. He would tell me, you know. He would tell me, you know, you're putting ministry before me. It's more important than me. I ain't got it without him. That was just out of ignorance. I said, oh, I'm sorry, God. And then he carried me to the scripture and he said, without me, you can do nothing. See, what God was doing in that is God was wanting me to experience the fruit of my faith. And my faith is going to be demonstrated most of the time in pressures and hardships. You don't know what you believe till you put in a fire. If you're going to squeal and ain't like nothing ain't working out and you feel like nothing, just life is just sucks, you know, it's just the same old, you get up, drink a cup of coffee, go to work, come in, you eat your supper, go to bed, it's same old, same. You cannot let yourself get in them kind of ruts. See, you got to stay in the Word and stay focused on the Word. See, fruit is a manifestation of the nature of God. I'm talking about kingdom fruit. It's a manifestation of the nature of God in our life. That's why God, He spoke to me one time and He said, I've geared you to win. 4 barrels on them, you know, and take out the points and put in electronic ignition so they fire. So I could understand that that's gearing that car to win. And the Lord told me, He said, I've gave you my Spirit. He said, I've gave you my Word. I've gave you my anointing. I've gave you my ability. Early this morning, I was thinking how that innocently, not with rebellion and all of that, you know, I wasn't able to come to church on Wednesday night back down yonder, you know. And so I made up my mind, you know, I made up my mind that this is God's will for me, you know. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts. And I thought, man, I'm going to flourish. So I got to do what God says. I'm going to be planted in the house of God. And so, you know what? I confronted my work. Garage doors would run me. I could work 7 days a week. I could make tons more money if I just quit pastoring on Wednesday night. So I could work till 6 or 7 and 8 o'clock. I give up thousands. I'm not telling you some garbage either. I'm telling you the facts. But that garage door business will go before Jesus because I didn't have it before Him. Right? Seek first the kingdom and His way of doing and being. Then all these things, Scotty, will be added. That's what the Scripture says. That's it. Paul said, follow after those who through faith, what? Inherit. These people have faith in God and they walk in the fruit of that faith that you can see with your own eyes. Follow after those. Do what they do. Well, I confronted that, praise God, and I was able to do the will of God. And it proved to me back then in 1993, that proved to me right then because I was willing, and I don't say this so nobody will quit your job. You don't have to. You use your faith to move mountains. Get them out of your way. Whatever's in your way to do the will of God. You believe God to make a way where there is seems to be no way. And I'm telling you, when you do that, God moves in and God begins to arrange things and causes it to work to the counsel of His will. I chose pastoring over my work. You go get that food, I don't work blunt overhead door. I cancel the whole day. I do it. I shut it down. Why? Because I'm not tooting my horn. I'm just telling you my convincing that if I do the will of God, all these things will be added. That it's not convenient to go get the food. Never. Never was. When I started out on the trailer driving to Anniston and getting the food, it's not a little deal. It was God's will. And I was having to fight the good fight of faith to go do the will of God. What was happening? I was given opportunity by the Lord to demonstrate my faith in my life. And you know what? They sent me letters going to cut us off. And I'm like, I threw it in the floorboard. And I said, you lying devil, black God. You can't cut me off. They can't cut me off. They don't own that food. The earth and everything in it is the Lord. What happened? I was given another opportunity right then because it was hardship on me, and I really felt kind of excited. Maybe they will. You know why? Everybody's like, are you serious? Well, you ain't the one having to go get it. Right? So you can easily say, I can't believe you would have done that. You might have done it before me. Okay? Hallelujah. We're going to have miracles. You're going to have miracles. You're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles in your life through your staying dedicated to Him, to the will of God, to your marriage. The Bible says that, Monty, that we are not supposed to gripe about people we work for. I got two companies that I got an opinion how if they would run their business, my life would be better. And I will not do it. What I do, I go to work and then I believe God through the hardship and all the stuff that I would change in it. And you know what? All I'm doing, I'm climbing up that ladder. I'm climbing up that ladder. I don't got to change them. We all face this kind of stuff. I'm talking about in real time right now. I got two companies. Some of the stuff is stupid. Some of it is just stupid. But I don't go around calling them stupid. Let them be stupid. Let me get some glory from God in their stupidity, in their rebellion, lack of wisdom, in their life. See, because we're walking with God. The Bible says for me, for us to do our work as unto the Lord, not men pleasers, but do it wholeheartedly from our heart. The Bible says for ladies, y'all ladies, you know, we're talking about authority. It says for y'all women and y'all ladies that ain't married, get it together, get it right biblically so that you can pass it down to the generation of young ladies under you that you are supposed to be teaching according to this Bible. It said, let the older women teach the younger women. It don't say teach them how to rebel against a man. It don't say teach them not how to cook. I wanted to go Travis yesterday. He's got not a lot of experience digging up stumps. So he's out there digging up a stump, and I thought by the time I got back, he'd have the whole backyard tore up. And he's got one limb off of a tree. It's a tree, but it's a limb off of a tree. And then I go out there, and I start laughing. I look, and I just sit there, and I laugh. I'm by myself out there. He's in the house. He done parked it and went on. I'm laughing, Johnny. I'm like, my God, he scratched the ground. I mean, I could hear him out there. Rrr, rrr. I mean, for hour or so. And I'm thinking, whoo, that boy's taking them trees down. He's digging them stumps up. I get back down there and I'm sitting there laughing, Johnny. I'm like, I built a half a barn. I mean, I built a whole, I did all this morning. And he scratched the ground. And so I told him that evening he cooked us some dinner or supper and brought it out. And I told him, I thought, I'm going to have to teach him. You know, now he could be a little 32-year-old. Now, who dad think he is? I like telling me I can't run a backhoe. So I told him, I said, look, stretch out. I said, don't dig right there at that stump. I said, just go way out, 5-6 foot out yonder. Go 5 or 6 foot out there around that stump. You ain't going to get that stump up digging it up right there at the stump. I've dug up tons of stumps. You know how I know that? I've done it. I've spent 4 hours on one stump one time and not to burnt my backhoe. I was so mad. I just shut it down, went home, and the Lord said, you're going to have to not dig close. dig wide. I went over there in 30 minutes and had that stump. So I told Travis, I said, you're going to have to stretch out, you know, go way around it. See, we want to go in it like Teresa says, I want to go in it like a bull in a china shop with everything. I'm a go forward kind of guy. I put it on Facebook. Anybody around Blountsville want to, something down to that nature? Want to work around Blountsville, you know? Give me a call. Put my number on her. About 9:30, Travis showed up. And I said, you're the only thug. You're the only one that ain't thug this morning. But you know what? I didn't let that stop me. I just thought I'd give somebody a chance to come over and make them $100 in a couple hours. I ain't going to tell them that. Everybody in Blountsville will be there. I couldn't beat them off with a stick. You know, make $100 2.5 hours. We'll be there. No, I'm not telling you that. But you know what? I went right on. I throwed the ladder up and I said, in the name of Jesus, I do this in your name. I'm doing everything for your glory. You're my help. You are my strength. You are the one. You're my rock. You supply all of my needs. And I did that. I did that whole barn. Built, got in all my corner posts, and I did it all in the strength of the Lord God Almighty. That's what believing God is, for Him to give you the ability to do what you think you're not able to do. Your marriage may be in that place. I mean, you know, well, just like people working, somebody just brought it up to me, they put in too many hours, no family time, and that's not the will of God. And so I told that person, I said, I'm going to be in agreement with you that God will turn this thing around for you. Why? Because I know it's the will of God for that person, that woman, that family to have family time tonight, because money's not everything. I don't even work for money. Stop working for money. Start believing for it. Get in faith over it. Stop working. I'm not telling you quit your job. I didn't quit garage doors when God told me that. He said, don't work for money. He said, don't let money be your master. He said, don't let it. He said, don't let it run you. Don't let it control your thoughts. Don't let lack of it bother you. He said, I would supply. What was He doing when He does that to us? He's telling us, bear fruit and you'll be more freer. So today, I mean, I don't even consider money. I don't consider a job, how much it's paying, and all that. I don't even consider that. And it just, money comes to those kind of folk. Why? Because you're in faith. You'll get promotions at work. You'll get favor at work. You'll get bonuses. You'll get extra bonuses. Somebody will give you money. He will increase you more and more. And like Teresa said in Sunday school, stop trying to figure out how to do it. Don't try to fix your marriage. Let God do it. Well, I tried to change Teresa. There's no change in her. I told her, I said, you're a Myrick, what it is. You came from a long line. I'm not going to be changed. Same thing, I'm a Weston. Westons were the most rebellious people that I knew. I look back at it. After I got saved. Law ain't, we don't care. We don't care about the law. Let them come. We're still in the gas. We might go to jail, but hey, we'll get out. So, she can't change me. So we're just like two heads butting together. Right? Well, see, God. Then God takes the word of God and He tells her, wives, submit yourself to your husband as it is fit in the Lord. Submit to your husband. You know what that means? That don't mean get on your knees and kiss his hands and all of that. That means take care of your man. Make him a refuge when he gets home instead of a gripe center. You know, I mean, respect him as his place that God has placed him in. See, this is what God says will go well with you, will be good for you. Respect your husband. Husbands, respect your wife. That, you know, I mean, that, you know, that competitive spirit's got to go out of your house. You got to be one. We got to be one. And if she respects the place that God has given me, I am the leader of my house. I lead my family to church. I lead my family to prayer. I lead my family to fasting. I'm leading my grandkids to all that I'm saying right now. I lead this church to fight the good fight of faith. I lead this church right here to stand strong when adversity comes and don't bow down to it. Travis was facing something here a while back. And he was telling me about it, you know, and work and different things, you know. And I said, well, all we got to do is not bow. We don't bow. Satan can't hold out a long-term assault against you. He has to go work on somebody else because he's not like God. God's everywhere all the time. He's in us. If God be for us, who can be against us? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, He's in us. He lives in us. Hallelujah. So I told Travis, I said, don't yield. I said, don't yield to the pressure of it. See, if you ever start yielding to the pressure of something, Satan takes notice and he will turn it up in your life whether you believe it or you don't. He will. The Bible says that we, as God's people, are not ignorant of Satan's devices. That what that means is if you don't know Satan's working, God is a faithful God to you. Somehow He will get your attention to it. It might be through a sermon that you just slapped down and thought was stupid. Come on, somebody. Usually it comes to me through Teresa. I'm like, why didn't you just tell me, God? Got to use her? Got to use her. You know, that's kind of humiliating. Every time you come home, Teresa's hitting a home run, poof, with me. And the Lord, He said, I thought you could submit to authority. I thought I'm the head of the house. He said, not when I'm telling her to tell you something. I've given her authority to tell you something. He said, now you can't receive it from the package I give. He had a problem with that, Johnny, with me. I had a problem. And so God taught me at work. I'm down praying and I'm saying, God, use me. I want to be used by you, God. And the Lord spoke to my heart by the Holy Spirit. And He said, you must first learn to submit to authority before you can be an authority. You know, and I didn't really realize it was going to be the hospitals, the police, the people standing out and making us wait a long time while they're paving the road. Right? I didn't know it was going to be the four-way stop sign up there when people don't even know when they got there. I didn't know that it was going to be, you know, these things out here in the world that I'm supposed to be submitting to the authority. What I thought is just be nice to my pastor. Toadie's podium. And I was doing all that, man. I'm serving, man. I'm serving. I do it with y'all guys. I see y'all guys in hardship. I want to go push you out of the way and say, here, man, let me take over a minute. That's called serving. See, Mark 4:20 over there where it talks about the good ground, and these are those that are planted on good ground, sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and what do with it? How are you going to do that? Doer of the word. That's exactly right. See, good ground is a willing heart. You got to have a willing heart. God, I'm willing to do your will. I'm willing to do whatever it is, God. And God, these things that get in the way of doing your will, God, I'm going to fight against them. I'm going to stand against them, God. See, even, I mean, on up into the government, you know, the government. I mean, I'm threatened right now that I can't preach on sin. I'm not threatened, but I mean, it's a threat there to shut down this Bible. To shut down what's an abomination and what is not of this Bible right here. That God created man, you know, He didn't create Adam and Steve. It was Adam and Eve. Now see, that can get me in hot water with the 501c, which I'll just mail it back to them. I'll mail them the 501c. What does that mean? We have to pay taxes. So what? We ain't paying nothing. Don't our lives belong to God? Didn't he call us? Didn't he anoint us and equip us? Yes, he did. My wife, we got away from the Lord one time. I understand hardship. And I led my family away. But see, you men have the ability to lead your family to or from God. Teresa, I'm trying to get her back right with the Lord, and she's cussing me and blah, 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 you know. I went to the Lord and I said, oh, Jesus. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I've let her go too far. I mean, you got to understand, I mean, you know, when we were too far, we were just gone. Leave us alone. Don't talk to us about Jesus. If we want to hear a sermon, we'll go to church. We had that kind of attitude, you know, and hard to break through, you know. And so anyways, I go to God and I said, God, I said, I let her away from you, Lord, by my not standing and fighting, God. By me missing church when I didn't have to, God. By me not fighting to do the things, praying and fasting and reading our Bible and at home, you know, and everything, Lord. And the Lord told me, he said, you lead. He said, you lead, she'll follow. And so I thought, I can't go to church without her. It's hard. It's hard, guys. It's hard, ladies. Who said it was supposed to be easy? Who said you're supposed to feel like you was when y'all were one? Things are tore apart. There's a ripping. There's a tearing. There's some demonic. And you know what? I went to church without my wife, so don't give me that garbage that it don't work. I don't believe it. I went back to church, and I went to church. I was going to church, and you know what? Look where she's at today. Sunday school teacher now for 20-something years. You can't convince me somebody is too far. You lead. You walk with God. You do what God's telling you to do, and that's bearing fruit. You got to have a willing heart to go without them. I'm going to serve Jesus without my wife. I'm going to serve Jesus without my family. I'm going to serve Jesus without my co-workers. I'm going to serve Jesus without family, church family. I've had Christians try to get me to you know, falter in the way that I'm believing, to do things different. Let me give you an example. Now, I set out to believe God to make this church happen. I started out with a Bible study back there, and the walls were made out of pallets. That's where I started Bible study. Had no intentions of pastoring church. I was evangelist. I seen a lack of knowledge of the Word of God in some folk. It's what really sparked it. And I wanted to just teach the Word of God on Tuesday night. I didn't really want to. I wanted to be home on Tuesday night, to be honest with you. I worked from 5 to 5, toting sheetrock and all that, you know, and toting lumber and windows and trim and all. I was usually wore out. Wore out. But anyways, I started out there. Then when the Lord wanted me to pastor a church, see, takes you in steps. God ain't through with you. God has a lot for you. Well, I'm on up in age. That's the best time. You're riper. You're more settled. Right? You're more stable. Right? You're established. And if you ain't, you can get there a lot quicker because you're older. Right? Well, when I started out, you know, I thought, but God, we're going to do this by faith, Lord. I'm not ever borrowing money, and I'm not a beggar. We're not beggars. The Bible don't call us beggars in here. He said we are the head, not the tail. We lend and not borrow. We're above and not beneath. He, you know, and so started out, we had a bunch of folk with their good ideas, but not God ideas. There's good ideas. And there's God ideas. And good ideas, you'll struggle. But God, finding God's will, just like you talked, They say, well, we'll have a fish fry, and we'll have hot dogs, and we'll sell this, and we'll wash cars. And all down through the years, I would tell them, no. Had some people to quit on account of it. We'll raise money. I said, nope, I'd rather bleep for it. It's easier. God said he'll do it. We're not going to make it happen. You know, God ain't telling me to go sell hot dogs and keep 50 cents. It took us a long time, man. He told me to give away all we had and brought me $3,000 in one meeting. I needed money for this building, and God said, sow it into this ministry. Give it all. Give it all. I gave it all. Had people up. What I'm saying is, you can't let people persuade you, and don't let the enemy persuade you. God understands. God understands. He'll tell you, God understands you can't do the will of God. God understands you can't. Word can't's not in the Bible. I tried to find it. It's not in there. But I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me is in there. Can't, the bank told me they can't. And I told them Christian ladies, I said, that's not in the Bible. She looked at me and she said, what, Mr. Weston? I said, can't is not in the Bible. I said, but it does say that I can, and you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. I said, I don't even need you to figure it out. I done figured it out for you. And I told the lady how I wanted it done. I got it from the Holy Spirit. He knew what could happen, and I really didn't. I didn't even go to school. I slept through most of it. I had a mustache in the eighth, seventh. I went a quarter of the way through the seventh. Ain't none of them little punks mess with me, man. I mean, I had I looked like Johnny, man, in the fourth grade, man. I'm already shaving, you know. I failed. I failed. So anyways, you know, I told them, and she says, huh? She said, oh, I can't do that. I said, I told you can. I said, because it's in the Bible. I said, all things are possible to those that believe. Went to the bank and they told me. They're trying to persuade me of my confidence in God. Unbeknown to them, most people are innocent in it. They're not, you know. So don't get on the attack of people. You just take a stand in your own life and in your own heart and in your own mind how you going to serve the Lord based on the Scripture right here, and then let God do the rest in your life. God will do it. Go down there, and I told them, I said, I want to open a banking account for Faithway Christian Center. And she said, well, we need all the people, you know, your elders. I said, well, I ain't got no elders. I said, God told me, we can't do it. I said, it's not in the Bible. I found that out right after I was a baby Christian, Johnny, that can't was not a word. So I got it completely away from my vocabulary, my thinking. I don't care how big it looks to me, I can. I don't care how big it looks to you, get that I can't out, you can. I had to climb a 24-foot step ladder. I looked up that ladder, and it's way up there, and I thought, I'm 58, man. I thought, I can't do that. I went and got that ladder, and I stood it up, stretched it out as far as it would go, leaned up on there, and I thought, you ain't telling me I can't. But God, I went and got my stuff and skinnied up there just like I did when I was 25 years old and got it done. It was trying to tell me I'm too old. Trying to tell me you're 58. What's that got to do with it? Trying to get me in fear. I can't do it. I did it, and I built the whole wall. I couldn't load my scissor lift, and I thought, oh, I got to use that ladder. I thought, I'm going to use that ladder. But God, I started not to go, Johnny. Just don't go, man. Just wait, you know, wait till you get a little help. And I thought, it's going to hold up my destiny. It's God's will that I do that. It's God's will that I go do that. See, that's what you got to do. I'm not telling you my story. I'm telling you that's what we all face in life. And the more that we bear fruit, the more that you as a wife learn, you know, to respect your husband, you're respecting God. You're not. You're doing what God asked you to do. So you're actually respecting God. He don't have to be worthy of it. She don't have to be worthy of you guys loving her as Christ so loved the church. Now somebody lost out there, they're not gonna do these Christian things. They might line up with some of it, but they ain't. They're not the ones to tell you how to live your life. They're not the ones to give you all kinds of advice on how you ought to do. We're not ones that we should be doing that to people either. I've had people come here and tell me how I need to run this and run that, and I'd be like, I'd read the story of Job, I'd be like, where was you at when we started? Where were you? Where were you when God told me? I've had people to ask me about the food ministry, and I have to sit down. They get plumb bored because I start down there in the dirt with them. It's not magic. God said, "Go get it," and you have to buy a trailer. You have to put effort. I mean, I went over there and they lied one time, loaded me up. They loaded, had food on there, and I thought they had told them that I was from my own ministry, and they had told them, they told me that they knew who I was. And then I'm behind them. They said, "Well, just stay behind us." You know, and I'm like, "Well, I can follow." And so I'm back there, and they says, "That one back there is with this ministry too." And when I heard that, I got out, and I said, "No, I'm not." And they're like, "Oh, I see, it's okay." I said, "I'm not with that ministry. My ministry is Faithway Christian Center over in Bluntsville." And I assumed that they knew. And now I told them guys, I said, "Y'all get all that food off my trailer. I don't have to con God to get it." I made a scene. I thought, they're trying to get me now to bend to unrighteousness so that Satan can stop the ministry over here. I unloaded that food. I told them, I said, "I will have nothing to do with that food." And I looked at him and I said, "Don't you ever do that to me again." God, y'all are quiet. Well, what am I supposed to do? What? In righteousness I'm established, right? In doing right, being right, thinking right, acting right. That's how I'm established. And you know what? I could have went on and did it, but see, my conviction wouldn't let me. My heart wouldn't let me. I'm like, I'm not climbing up on your shirt tail. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our supply. You know what happened? I left there and didn't get no food that day. They called me. The food bank. All of them workers, they went and told whatever God did. They called me. Them people got cut off and I started getting their food. For lying. For deceiving the ministry. They were deceiving them. Right? And so I caused the scene. I didn't mean to. Well, you know what? We got food for years until God hooked us up here. See what was happening. I was put to the challenge whether I'm going to bear the right fruit or not. Whether I'm, you know, I don't go around trying to run everybody's business. I did for just a little bit, you know, because I buy the doors from where these two companies buys their doors. I buy the same doors. I know the people. I deal with the people. So when there was a problem, I would just pick up the phone, and that company wasn't having to deal with it. This one having trouble, I'd pick up the phone, and I would solve all that, and I wasn't getting paid for all that. You know, so just a short period of time, I felt under a lot of pressure and all of that. And the Lord told me, He said, I didn't anoint you to run those two businesses. He said, I didn't anoint you to be up in their business. See, you don't need to be up in one another's business. Right? I don't need to be up in your business all the time. I don't need to be. See, if your pastor's a busybody, you're probably going to be one. You'd like it. Got that ungodly anointing. Judging people. Critical of people. I used to do it myself. If it was me, I wouldn't do it that way. If it was me, I would have picked a bit different color. If it was me, I'd have did this way, and I'd have did that way. Or if somebody asked me, I may know way more than them about stuff, and I don't even let them know it. I don't even let them know it. See, my pastor taught me that. He says, a wise man has few words, is in the Bible. Wise man. I thought, I want to be a wise man. I've been stupid for 27 years. I want to be wise. I don't want to be stupid. You know? And when people do that to me, you know, I see how arrogant they are. They don't never know that I see how arrogant they are. I'm like, hey, if you want to be arrogant and reap the results, you're going to get the fruit of that. That's fine. The more fruit you bear, the more bound you are. So God wants us bearing fruit. He wants us to hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. We're going to have ample lead guitars. I'm not going to have it where we ain't got one. Not one service. I'm not down on nobody. Drummers. Bass player, not down on nobody. Y'all in agreement with me, ain't you? That God's going to make us have plenty, right? So that the ministry never lacks anything. Plenty of money. I'm believing for plenty of money. You know what that happens? You're going to get a raise. Because you're tithers, you're givers. I believe God to prosper you, the kingdom's going to prosper. Because we're givers, right? I'm believing God for Sunday school teachers. What's wrong with Teresa? Did I say anything wrong with Teresa? She don't like it? Why? You got a problem? She shouldn't. She'd be like, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God, I felt like God was going to give this church to somebody one time. I was right there on that pew right there. And I got down and I told God, I said, God, because I had this mentality that it was my ministry. And then God did give it to me, but it ain't mine. So I started feeling this. And so I knelt down right there at that pew during one of the services. And I told God, I said, God, I surrender. I surrender this ministry to you, God. I got this ability from you, God. And Lord, I wouldn't have this ability if you hadn't given it to me, God. So I surrender this ministry to you, God. God, if you want me to sit under somebody, sir, I'm fine with it. I will sit here and I already know how to submit to authority, sir, so I won't have a problem with that. I even called a minister one time and I asked him, I said, if God calls me back there, it was in this time, if God calls me back there, do you think that I could submit? He said, it'd be hard since you've been in ministry. I said, but what if God said? Oh, well, yeah, if God said. See, we always got to keep it in there if God says it. I surrendered that to the Lord, and then that feeling went away, and I knew. I was like, oh, man. I began to realize, you know, that I was thinking this is my ministry. I got to protect this ministry. We do protect the anointing and all of that stuff. So, see, you got to be willing to stand up for what your convictions are. And if you don't ever read your Bible, you're not going to have many. I used to buy the busted paper. I want to see who went to jail Saturday. And then tell everybody, boy, I mean, Jack went to jail. Did you know Jack went to jail? Do you know that's gossip? That's gossip. If I'd have been buying the busted paper and saying, oh, Jesus, have mercy on Jack. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, send somebody in there to... Now you're not gossiping. You're letting everybody know Jack went... You're a gossiper. You're spreading gossip. You're uncovering somebody that fell into a trap. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be... The Bible says that love covers, right? It covers. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise.